This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. Michigan State University is back in the spotlight, and once again, not for anything good. MSU football coach Mel Tucker has been accused of sexually harassing Brenda Tracy. Tracy was actually hired by the school to teach the football team about sexual misconduct and consent. Here with me to break it all down and what the future of MSU looks like is Bridge, Michigan education reporter Isabel Lohman. Isabel, welcome to Mishmash.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a story that has really taken off nationally. You've got a prominent coach at a Big Ten school being accused of sexual harassment. Now, Tracy says Tucker masturbated during a 2022 phone call without her consent. Tucker says it was a situation of consensual phone sex. Isabel, can you briefly give us a rundown of where things currently sit in all of this?
Yes. So that report came out on Sunday morning. By Sunday evening, MSU had announced that they had suspended Tucker without pay. Since then, Tucker has also released a statement basically saying what you just described, that it was a consensual relationship. Brenda Tracy has come out saying that she did not want to have her name out in the public yet. She had anticipated, you know, keeping these things private. And the next step is an October hearing where Tucker and Tracy and their lawyers will be speaking. It's a closed hearing. That's where we're at right now.
I'm curious, you said that this upcoming hearing is going to be a closed hearing. Is that unusual for something of this nature? And have they explained why it won't be open to the public?
This is typical when we're dealing with sexual harassment, sexual misconduct, Title IX claims. These hearings tend to be private between the complainant, the respondent, and then anyone else involved in investigating.
This would have been a big story no matter what, given a lot of the things that we've already mentioned. But there's also an added layer to all of this because of the Larry Nassar scandal. Nassar is the former MSU physician who was convicted a few years ago of raping gymnasts under the guise of treatment. How is that history playing out in what's going on here?
It's playing a huge impact in all of this. So Sunday night, when the president, the interim president, and the athletic director announced that Tucker was being suspended, you know, interim president Teresa Woodruff said, this is not the MSU of the past. The MSU of today values survivors. We take these claims very seriously. And it sort of fell on deaf ears for some people. Some people, including Nassar survivors that I've talked to, say, you need to prove to us that this is different, because what we're seeing up to this point doesn't show that it's different. There's also a concern about transparency. So yes, these types of proceedings tend to be private by nature, but the investigator completed her report at the end of July. And that's when the president, the interim president, learned the name Brenda Tracy. It's also important to acknowledge that that report was completed in July, and they are not having their hearing until October. MSU says that was a mutually agreed decision between the respondent and the claimant and the investigator. It's unclear, however, what is playing into this. We have the report come out in July, then we have the bye week where the football team isn't playing in October, and that's when the hearing is scheduled. So people have a lot of questions. They want to know if the university followed protocol. They want to know if Tucker got special treatment because he's the football coach. They want to know who was in charge of deciding what Tucker needed to do in the interim. And they want to know if the president and the athletic director weren't looking at that complete report, who was looking at that report, and was enough steps taken to sort of advance the process?
That's a lot of questions that people rightfully have. Are we going to get answers to those questions? Is it looking like we are on a road towards having answers?
We have some answers, but I think a lot of things we're not going to see for a while. So MSU has said that the interim president and the athletic director still have not received the full report, and they won't right now, they're saying, because they want to protect the privacy and, you know, the investigation. It's unclear exactly who was making those decisions, but like I said, about interim measures, and the university has told me that they're not going to release that information at this time because it's an ongoing investigation. And we don't have a lot of clarity in terms, again, of who's making decisions if it's not the athletic director and it's not the president. So it seems like those questions are still up in the air and going to be up in the air for a while.
Walk us through some more of Michigan State University's reaction and response to all of this and the reaction to their response.
Sure. So the USA Today story breaks Sunday early morning. I'm sure myself and many other reporters across the state and the nation are calling MSU asking for some answers. They schedule a press conference for 5 o'clock Sunday evening where they announce that Tucker is being suspended without pay. They offer some brief statements and then they take 3 reporter questions. That's really all we hear for that evening. On Monday, we get a little bit more information. We get a Detroit News story that's saying that half of the board was kept in the dark. MSU refutes that, says, no, the board did know that there was a complaint back in December. We see Monday evening that Governor Gretchen Whitmer submits a statement. Basically, she's an MSU grad herself, basically calling on the university to provide some answers. She says she's disappointed. She says she needs answers. She says she needs to have some clarity again on who knew what when. By around like 10:30 Monday evening, we get a statement from MSU once again clarifying when the board knew, when the president knew, but it doesn't have a lot of details in there. Now we're at Wednesday. We got a little bit more information yesterday, Tuesday, but we haven't gotten much more information since those initial statements from the university.
Are you getting a sense of anything that either Governor Whitmer's office is going to do in response to this, or lawmakers in general might be considering in response to all of this, or is it still too soon?
I think it's a little too soon. I think there's a little bit of a wait and see approach, right? Let's see what the hearing says. Let's see what the determination is. There's also a sense of when the story first broke and the university announced that they were suspending Tucker, one of the biggest critiques was what has changed from this, from what you knew before to now? Is the only difference the fact that USA Today reported this story? We now know that it seems like some of the leaders, again, whether it was the right call or not, we're not fully briefed on the situation. So I think there's a question here about best policy and practice on the university level. And then there's, again, that state component of, is there more the legislature or the governor can be doing to hold schools accountable to take issues of sexual misconduct seriously?
So we've been talking a lot about all of the reactions to this incident and what MSU has been having to say. But what about Tucker? What has his team been saying, and maybe even him personally been saying, about what happened?
Yes. So he, with his lawyer, released a statement on Monday afternoon or evening, and he called into question the hearing process. He said that there's no other opportunity for the truth to come out besides this press release. He talked about this hearing being biased. He said that, yes, he and Brenda Tracy did have a personal relationship, but the event that happened over the phone call in April of 2022 was a mutual private event between two adults. And he has essentially said that he has doubts about this entire process, about the hearing, about how the information came to light. And he issues a pretty lengthy statement. It's about 2 pages long, and calls the hearing a sham, saying that it's ridiculously flawed and not designed to arrive at the truth. So the hearing in October will have both Tucker and Tracy, and then someone who is investigating the claims against Tucker. Both Tucker and Tracy will have the opportunity to speak. They'll have their lawyers there, and we'll see what comes from that.
So we have this hearing coming up in October. Sort of putting it on your thinking ahead cap, what is next for Michigan State? Do you see this impacting the school in the long term, either reputationally or otherwise?
I think it's yet to be seen. I mean, they're saying they're different than the Nassar days. We need to see if that's true, right? We need to see how this hearing plays out, how the results of the final investigation come out. We also need to figure out what they're going to do with Tucker, right? Like, he's suspended without pay, but will he eventually be fired, for example? What is that going to look like? Then you have other concerns that are still at play here. So interim president Teresa Woodruff has already said that she's not vying for the permanent spot at MSU, but MSU is still looking for their next permanent president. So we have that. And then you also have Nassar survivors once again calling for the university to release about 6,000 documents related to Nassar that up to this point, the Board of Trustees has said, you know, it's attorney-client privilege. We're not releasing those documents. So we have a lot of things at play here that isn't directly tied to this investigation, but absolutely is playing a role in how this all gets dealt with.
In other MSU news, the university is banning concealed weapons. Isabel, what's going on there?
Yes. So this happened on Friday. This was, you know, way before all of the Mel Tucker stuff, at least publicly. And what you have here is you have the board amended its firearms policy. So students and faculty and staff were already not allowed to have guns on campus. But in their policy, they had a little clause that said, you know, notwithstanding other folks who are allowed to carry firearms by state law. Well, they have struck in that clause, meaning that now people who have concealed carry licenses still won't be allowed to carry on campus. This is important because advocates have said for years that this is a loophole in the university policy. They've said that having this loophole makes campus less safe. The board voted to approve this change in the plan. It's unclear, however, exactly what this will practically mean. One of the discussion points and one of the reasons that two of the trustees voted against this is because it does leave a lot of discretion up to law enforcement. And so there's a question about how is a law enforcement officer going to be different at, say, 3 p.m. in the afternoon versus 1 a.m. in the morning? And how do we think about people who are legally allowed to carry these weapons other places in the state, but not on this campus?
Talk us through what prompted this action.
Sure. So like I said, there are advocates that have been calling for this for a while, but we also saw in July, the courts affirmed University of Michigan's firearm policy, which does prohibit firearms for people that aren't just students and staff. So I think that's part of this. We saw what the court has decided, and it seems like it was the right time for MSU to weigh in, or MSU felt safe to weigh in at this point.
What has been the reaction to this ban?
Yeah, so at least initially, it seems like some people feel like this will make campus safer. I wrote a story about it and someone pointed it out to me, rightfully so. They have questions. You know, if this is just about the people who bring concealed weapons onto campus, law-abiding concealed weapons onto campus, how many of those people are the ones actually committing crimes, right? So you think about the shooting that happened back in February. That person did have a gun, but he didn't have a concealed carry weapon. So he was already breaking the university rules by having the gun on campus in the first place.
Isabel Lohman is an education reporter for Bridge, Michigan. Isabel, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here on Mishmash.
Thanks for having me.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrand. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, really, shows like this one and all of the great work that WDET does just would not be possible. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.